Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 14, there's a portion of scripture the Lord tells his disciples, get into this ship and go ahead and head out. I want you to go to the other side. I'm going to send the multitudes away. And he went up into a mountain there to pray. And then he was there by himself, but it said the disciples find themselves in the ship in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. The wind is contrary. And in verse 25, it says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them. I'm thankful that he's always coming to us when we're in need. Amen. It said, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth thou art the Son of God. And so I want to talk to you a few minutes on this thought. Sink or be saved. Sink or be saved. Praise God. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful word tonight and for your presence always with us. God, we thank you. Tonight, let us hear what you would say and let us be encouraged, strengthened in our faith, Lord. God, we're going to praise you for all the great things that you do. We love you tonight. Bless the preaching of your word in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Clap your hands real good to the Lord before you're seated tonight. God's good. Hallelujah. Be seated in Jesus' name. Thank you for being here. Sink or be saved. Not a message I've preached or taught on before. Just today, as I was driving down the road, this passage of Scripture just came to my mind. And, you know, many times this portion of Scripture reminds people of Peter's failure. It seems like many times we look at things that happened with Peter and it's always focused on where Peter came up short. It was his lack of faith or it was his doubt or something to that nature. But to me, this Scripture is not so much about a lack of faith as it is about an act of faith. Yeah? Because he had faith to step out, but then he also had faith to cry out. And if you're going to walk on water, you better have a voice. Yeah? If you're going to be a water walker, you better not be trying to mime it. You better find your voice and start crying out. Praise God. But I was thinking of this, though, you know, thinking about how people are, you know, being overwhelmed. A lot of times we make the mistake of assuming that once we come to God that we will never be overwhelmed with things, that we will always just, because the Lord says you're going to be above only and not beneath, and you're the head and not the tail. We bank on those promises. We trust in them, but it is possible for even born again, Holy Ghost filled saints to become overwhelmed. The Scripture declares it. When I'm overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. When I'm overwhelmed, get me to something I can cling to. Get me to something I can hold on to. When I'm overwhelmed, I don't want to go down to the bottom. I don't want to sink. I want to be saved. I want something that I can get a foothold on and climb up out of this. I want to overcome this thing, but if I have nothing to cling to, if I have nothing to hold me, if I don't have this anchor that keeps me grounded in the faith, that keeps me rooted and built up in Him, if I don't have these things, then I'll perish. I don't want to sink. I want to be saved. But I want you to understand tonight that a lot of people sometimes die silently waiting for an answer that they never cried out for. I'll say it again. If you're going to walk on water, you better find a voice. And I was thinking about this today, how people are being overwhelmed and covered up, drowning, if you will. And when I thought of that, it's when I began to think about this passage with Peter, because, of course, with drowning, you think of water. But sometimes people drown in debt. They drown in life. They drown in sorrow. They drown, you know, just anything like that. We use that phrase sometimes. But naturally, drowning, of course, refers to someone who is in the water, goes under the water, ingests the water until they are no longer alive. So I thought about Peter walking on water, walking on top of something that could drown him. He could only do that through the authority of God's word when he asked the question. Again, it was his voice that got this thing started. Lord, if that is you, then bid me to come. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. You need to use your voice to step out. It's an act of faith. And so Peter's walking on top of something that could drown him. And so I start getting this picture. In the midst of the sea, the scripture says they were already in the midst of the sea. They were not in the shallows. They were not at shore. They were in the middle of the sea. And they were in the middle of the storm. So naturally, drowning is not too far-fetched to think about. Any person in a boat should always have that in the back of their mind. Be careful. I could fall over. Something could happen. I could drown. I read today that a person can actually drown in as little as 1 to 2 inches of water. But Peter's in the midst of the sea. Now, he's not in 1 or 2 inches. Have you ever been on a cruise? And you look out, all you see is the surface. But think about all that surface plus all that depth, plus what you can't even see, and it's all the way around you. You could drown in the midst of the sea. And Peter is walking. When we read verse 30, it says, and Peter, he's walking to Jesus on the sea in the storm. But then it says, he saw the wind boisterous. This is the only time the word boisterous is in Scripture. It means mightier and stronger than man. Now, you know you can't actually see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. He saw what was going on while he was in the boat, and he still said, let me come out. And so he's walking. But somewhere on that journey to the Lord, he sees the wind doing something that makes him realize this wind is more than I can handle. This wind is greater than anything I can do. I'm not stronger than this wind. Maybe the boat was rising up. Maybe he saw the waves beginning to get taller. And he began to understand that I now stand in a place that I have no control, that this can drown me. I'm a fisherman. I understand. Maybe he knew people that had drowned in the past in storms. A lot of things come creeping in his mind, and it says he saw that the wind was boisterous. This is more than I can handle. But it's not more than he can handle. It's stronger than Peter, but it's not stronger than the one who controls it. Yeah? Greater is he that is in me. And I will tell you that greater is he that is with me. If he's in me, he's with me. And greater is he that is in me, greater is he that is with me. And I will declare that there is still no weapon formed and there is no storm formed that is greater than a child of God who is trusting in him. The disciples got a revelation of Jesus being able to do these things in Mark chapter 4, when another time when they were on the sea and the storm had just came into the ship. The ship was full of water. They said, "Don't you care that we perish?" They were scared. They were crying out. They were upset. But it says, Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" It is not stronger than the one who created it. And there was Jesus standing in the midst of the storm, while the same storm that Peter was walking in. But it was never stronger than Jesus. It's hard sometimes in the middle of it to remember what got you there. It's hard to recall the faith that gave you the boldness to step out of somewhere that was comfortable into a place that was now uncomfortable. In the boat, it was the same wind. But in the boat, this is my territory. I know the ship. I know how to work a ship in the storm. I know what to do in the storm when I'm in the ship. But now I am walking into a place that God has called me to. I am in my walk of faith. And I realize now that I'm a little more vulnerable right here, walking with nothing between my feet and the water at all, except my faith. And this wind is more than I can handle. And this storm is more than I can handle. And I can't do anything. I can't stop it. I can't control it. It's blowing and it's moving and it's pushing me and the waves are getting higher. And we feel like that in life sometimes. That things are stronger than us, but they're never stronger than him. The Lord would tell Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Whenever something comes against me and I'm not strong enough to handle it, it's never stronger than him. And I realize that when I watch him and I trust him and I believe him, that I can see that his strength is made perfect when I try to relinquish hold of trying to control it and just let him have it. Just let him take care of it. His grace is sufficient to get me through, and his strength is made perfect in my weakness. And Peter sees this wind. Now, I don't know where Jesus was actually at in his line of vision now. I don't know if he was turning his head or if he had turned around. Maybe he heard a cry from the boat and it caused him to turn around and he saw the ship rising, and maybe that's what scared him. Maybe it was fear for the lives of his friends that caused him to begin to take notice of the wind. But I would remind us tonight that it's good to keep your eyes on Jesus, because he is our Savior. You know, when the Lord told Moses, he said, "Instruct the people and tell them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." You know, keep your eyes on the salvation of the Lord. And we've talked about this before, but you know, the word salvation in Hebrew is Yeshua, and that's what they would have called Jesus in that day. And that's why the writer said, looking unto Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep watching the salvation of the Lord. Keep your eyes on him. You can look at two things at once. Keep him in the picture. He was in the same storm. He was standing on the same water in the same storm. And he was not being blown around. He was not being covered up by the waves. He was simply standing still, a point of reference in the storm. Remember that if Jesus can stand the storm, you can stand the storm. You can do it. It wasn't just like peace and calm all around Jesus, like where he was at, it was just a bunch of sunshine coming down on him. He was standing there in the storm, not moved, not tossed, not worried, not running, just standing, watching Peter. Peter was watching the waves, and Jesus was watching Peter. I thought about this scripture as I was writing out these notes today at this point. Psalm 34 and 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Peter got his eyes on the wind. Jesus had his eyes on Peter. He saw it all. He sees it all. Whatever you're going through today, he sees that. The things that you struggle with, the things that you feel like are about to take you under, you've rode alone in your car crying to God, I'm drowning, I'm drowning, I'm drowning. The things trying to overwhelm you, trying to suck the life out of you, trying to take you down, he sees that. This scripture in Psalm is important for more than just the fact that he sees me. It's important for the fact that he hears me. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, but they are upon the righteous. God has got his eye on you. You might be in the eye of the storm, but the eye of the one who created all things is on you. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, but then it says, and his ears are open unto their cry. There's two parts to this wonderful promise. It's not just that he sees me, but it is that he hears me. And that's gave me a question. And after I read verse 30 today, while I was thinking about that, what I thought about the scripture today, when I finally sat down and began to read and go through it, I want you to notice what it says right here. But when Peter saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And beginning to sink, he cried. When he knew that something is different than it was just a moment before, he cried out. When he was beginning to sink, not when he was underwater, not when it was covering him up, but as soon as he realized things are not right, something's different, something's going on, I am in the midst of a sea, I'm in the midst of something that could destroy me, and so I'm not going to wait till it does. At the beginning, at the very beginning, when he got a little deep, when the water got over his ankles, Peter realized something's not like it was. And beginning to sink, he said, Lord, save me. I said it before, if you're going to walk on water, you better have a voice. I know that the Lord sees us, but he also has ears. And why would he tell us these both of these two things? His eyes are looking at us and his ears are listening. Because let me tell you something, he can watch you die in silence, or he can rescue you when you cry. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord. And he saved me out of all my trouble. What did you do? Did the Lord not see you? Did you have to get his attention with your voice? No, because the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, but his ears are also listening to their cries, because it is faith that we speak. I believed, therefore I have spoken. And I believe, and therefore I cry out. I believe, therefore I pray. I believe, therefore I say, Lord, save me from sinking. I'm sinking right now. I know it was an act of faith to get out of the boat, but it was a bigger act of faith to cry out and say, God, save me from my sinking. Something's happening. It's not the same. I need you to help me right now. He did this when he was beginning to sink. Why do we wait so long to cry out? In the world, we're so proactive about so many things. Our health, you know, maintenance on vehicles, houses, etc., whatever. We want to avoid a problem, so we're proactive about a lot of things in this life. But too many times, we ignore initial signs of trouble. Just natural things that can get you in trouble. if the gas light comes on, get gas. Then, the worst thing they ever put in the car was for it to tell you how many miles you have until zero. Because you will roll that dice believing that that computer's right. Check engine light comes on. How long's that been on? A month? A year? How about when the check engine light comes on, you get it checked out? You know? Let me tell you a story that was very expensive for a guy. When I did alarm systems and supervised that department in Conyers, one of our biggest accounts was the Polaris dealership. Wave runners and four-wheelers and all kind of things, side-by-side stuff all out. And they just had it out back in a fence on Thanksgiving weekend when nobody was working. They stole about 8 four-wheelers off that back lot. They call us on Monday, blaming us. You're the alarm company. Why didn't the alarm go off? Of course, I'm a little sick to my stomach because I'm wondering why the alarm didn't go off. I don't know. I just got here. Let me look. Let me see what's going on. So I go to the control panel. I look at this big keypad that you can read the words on the keypad. And it says, system trouble, low battery. And the man that owned the dealership was there, and he was fuming. And the guy that run the dealership was a little kid standing there. And they were both looking at me like, what is it? I said, come here. And so I show him. I said, hey, you work here every day. I said, how long has it been saying that? Oh, about a month. I said, well, guess what? And I pulled a copy of this contract out, and I said, here's under owner responsibilities. And I highlighted a portion for him. I said, anytime this keypad says trouble, you have to call us immediately because it could affect the function of the alarm. And because it was low and they had just been silencing the beep, it was beeping at them every day, and they would just hit the code and cut it off and go about their business. So when it finally got so low, when the alarm was actually tripped, it couldn't report. And so it was all on him. Very expensive to lose about $8,000 or $9,000, $6,000, $7,000 four-wheelers. I'm sure his insurance company loved him for it. Oh, it gets expensive when we start waiting, when we start putting it off. Why do we wait to cry out? If you're having chest pains, guess what? Don't wait. Call the doctor. If you stand up and your vision's blurred and you feel like you're going to pass out, well, I'll see if it'll get better. Call the doctor. Don't ignore the warning signs. And if we will do that with natural things, how much more should we do this in our walk with God? He did not wait to cry out. It said when he was beginning to sink, he cried out. Because he didn't go underwater all of a sudden. Matter of fact, it never says he went underwater. A lot of times you see these paintings and it's like Peter's looking from under the surface of the water at a hand stretching down, but it never says he went under. He was beginning to sink. There was a process there. He didn't commit some grave, crazy sin. He didn't turn his back on God. He didn't stop believing in God. He got worried. He got afraid, and he started to sink. It was a little bit at a time. And all of a sudden, he was walking good, but then all of a sudden, you go to the beach or somewhere and you get out about knee deep and you're trying to walk through water and how hard it is to walk because the water's the resistance of the water. So he's walking fine. All of a sudden, it's like his feet are dragging through. Hey, man, I'm shin deep. This ain't right. He said, he had me walking on top of this stuff and now I'm dragging my feet through it. This is not the walk that God called me to. This is not the walk that God wanted me to have. And he realized, I'm beginning to sink. Is it our pride that keeps us from crying out? Is it because we don't want to be embarrassed in front of our brethren that we don't cry out? But Peter realized, here's the issue. if I don't cry out, I'm going to drown. It's going to be worse than just getting knee deep. I'm about to be over my head in this thing if I don't do something. Now, I'm not going to wait till the water is hitting me in the throat or filling my mouth. I'm not going to wait till I've got can't keep my head above water. At the beginning, when he began to sink, he cried out. He realized this, I'm not walking the same as I was. When we realize we're not praying like we were, that's time to cry out. I'm not as faithful as I once was. It's time to cry out. I'm not reading. I'm not studying. I'm not witnessing. I'm not doing the things like I used to. It's hit and miss now. It's time to cry out. Because God doesn't call us to a weaker walk. But as we walk, we just get stronger in our faith and stronger in our walk, and we keep going so we can finish our course and fight a good fight like Paul did. And it's nothing wrong with us examining ourselves and understanding that, hey, if I'm beginning to sink, there's only one thing that can happen. There's one or two things can happen. I can cry out and be saved, or I can keep my mouth shut and drown. It's a process. And maybe it was just the fact that he was if you're standing in the middle of a sea and you're knee deep, that's still a pretty good miracle. Well, God didn't call you the pretty good miracle. He called you to walk on it. Well, I'm waist deep. Look at this. I'm just like a cork out here floating in the water. Isn't that awesome? He didn't call you to be waist deep. He called you to walk in it. Walk on it. Don't be satisfied with just being alive in the storm. Walk on top of it. Examine yourself. It's a struggle to walk in knee-deep water. You're dragging your legs because most of us, especially you get older, you can't pick your legs up high enough to step. So you're just sludging through the water. And God didn't call you to sludge through the water. He didn't say we sludge by faith. We walk by faith. And faith to get out of the boat is one thing. But friend, it's just as great an act of faith to cry out. And when you're going down, when you can realize, hey, I'm going under. I'm going to go under. This is going to end me if I don't do something right now. If I wait, is this going to get better? It's not going to get better unless you get him involved. Peter would have went under if he had not got him involved. He didn't pretend, it's okay. Hey, he turned around waving at him. Oh, don't worry. Yeah, I know I'm ankle deep now, but it's fine. It's just the wind. Yeah, don't worry about it. No, he said, Lord, save me. Peter, come on. You're overreacting. You're only ankle deep. Yeah, but it don't stop with the ankle. But I can see that water, those waves salivating like a hungry lion. Here comes another one. I'm about to pull him down. I'm going to pull him under. They're going to lose another one will be lost. But not this time. Jesus, save me. Lord, save me. Before I go under, before it gets to the point that it silences my voice, before it gets to the point that I can't see you anymore, Lord, save me. Don't let me be pulled down into the deep. Don't let me be pulled down into the darkness. Don't let the water get over my head. Friend, we weren't called to live in water. We can't live in that environment. Don't get into a place where you can't live and then you can't call on God. Call on him in the beginning. Don't let it slip off into something worse. Just go ahead. When you feel yourself struggling, don't just say, hey, God, you see this, right? Yeah, I see it. What are you going to say about it? Quit pretending that it's all right and say, Lord, save me. It's not ridiculous. You know, when a person that can't swim, try to throw them in knee-deep water. Terrified of water. Just stand up. You don't understand. I don't even want to be in it. I don't even want to be in a place where I'm fighting and drowning. I want to be on top of these things. You know, and maybe that, you know, the thing about drowning, it's a process. And maybe that's why people wait. Because if you fell off a boat, if you can swim, if you're a good swimmer, you know, if you're out on a boat by yourself and the boat was riding, you fell off and the boat just kept going. You're like, okay, this is bad, but I can swim. Of course, I am about 6 miles from shore. It's going to be tough, but I can float. So I'll swim, then I'll float, and then I'll swim, then I'll float. And I can tread water. A lot of people have fallen off ships in the middle of an ocean. And if they survived the falling off, they can only survive so long in the water. Because eventually, you're going to get tired of treading water. Your body just won't be able to do anymore. You can only float for so long. The elements, you're there in a place where you're not getting any kind of nourishment. You're just there in the water. In the water, our bodies are not made to stay in the water. Everything is working against you. Everything is pointing that you're at the end. Cry out. Don't say, I can do this. I can hold my breath. I can hold my breath a long time, but you can't hold it forever. And eventually, as you begin to go on, you know, that's the natural thing is a person, when they can't stay up anymore, they go on, they hold their breath, realizing they've only got moments left before that breath runs out and their body does what it's naturally designed to do. It's going to breathe in. And it's going to fill the lungs with a substance that was not meant to be there. And that's it. Don't wait till you go under. Don't wait. They used to sing in old songs, and it would be preached. A lot of times, in old times, they say, don't let it be said too late. I'm telling you tonight, don't let it be said too late. If you feel like what you've been walking on top of has gotten ankle deep or knee deep, it's time to cry out. If you feel like you're about to go under, if you feel like it's, cry out. Because he's not just available to us when we're on the boat. He's available to you in the storm. He didn't turn his back on Peter. He's like, I can't believe I called him out of the boat. He was walking on the water and now he's sinking. You know what? Whatever, Peter. He didn't turn his back and walk off from Peter. He just kept watching and he kept listening. And it said when he cried out to the Lord, when he cried out, Lord, save me, immediately he stretched out his hand and caught him. He never went under. I believe if he had went under, it would have said that he pulled him up out of the water. But it just says he caught him. And he asked him about, you know, he's just talking to him. He's, hey, what happened, man? Peter's, you know, I don't know. It doesn't tell what Peter said. I think maybe Peter answered him because they both went back to the boat. And maybe on the way back, he said, you know, Lord, I was doing good, but I just saw, man, the waves, the wind got crazy. And, my goodness, you know, and I'm just, you know, human. And, and all of a sudden I started sinking. So I didn't know what to do but just call on you. That's a good thing to do, Peter. That's what you do when you start sinking. You cry out to me. You cry out to the Lord. You don't hold on thinking, well, I can get through this. I can tread water. I can swim. I can float. I can hold my breath. Too many times in our walk, we are trying to tread water when we ought to be walking on top of it. Many, many born again people have been taken out because of their silence. The eyes of the Lord and the ears of the Lord are upon us and open to us so that we can be saved, delivered, rescued. Don't ignore the signs of sinking. When you begin to sink, we need saving. If we begin to sink, we don't just need a little help. We need saving. We need him to come and save us. Forget about your ego. Forget about your pride. Forget about self-reliance and call on the one who can save you. Psalm 46, And one says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Peter was in trouble and Jesus was present, watching every moment of it. You think he didn't see that Peter was a little deeper in the water than he was when he started walking? But it doesn't say he did anything. He waited for Peter to cry out. Peter didn't turn around and say, throw me a life ring or row the boat this way. He didn't try to get them to save. He cried out to the Lord. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. A very present help, and the time to cry out is now, at the beginning. And so again, I say it, if you're going to be a water walker, you better have a voice and you better know where your help comes from. It don't come from man, but it comes from the Lord that made heaven and earth. Come on, somebody. He isn't only available to us when our faith is high and we're on the boat and we're ready to step out. He's right there when the sinking starts. And he's just as concerned about you sinking as he is with you walking on water. And y'all can come to the music tonight. I'm on the last page here. I know life can get hectic, and especially the life we're in today. I know that the world is not the same as it was. I used to think about when I would hear grandparents and elders talking about how it was back during the world wars, and they would talk about the Great Depression, and they would talk about how things were very hard and tough, and it was hard to find work. It was hard to find food. It was just tough all around, and it was a lot of people were just surrendering and giving up, taking their lives because they didn't see an answer. There's no way out of this, and they just gave up. You know, the stock market crashed and people were just jumping out of windows. No hope. There is hope today, though. There is hope in this life. And young people today, my wife and I, and some of the ones that are more my age, we talk about it. For young people today, it's harder than it was when we were young and young and married and things like that. And I know it's hard. Everything is more expensive. You know, rent and housing and cars and gas and groceries and raising a family. And it feels like it's overwhelming me, God. It's more than I can take. And because you're so worried about that, I don't want to pray, because every time I pray, all I'm doing is saying, God, help me. I feel like I don't have any passion in my worship. I feel like I don't have any passion in my prayer. I feel like there's no excitement in my studying. I feel like my attendance is just routine. And cry out. That's time to cry out. You're sinking, it's time to cry out. If you're sinking, it's time to cry out. Don't wait till you go all the way under. Don't wait till you get where it gets over your head. Don't wait till the pressure is crushing you. Cry out now. Cry out to him. Cry out to the Lord. Come on, stand with me tonight and just begin to worship the Lord and pray and listen for just a moment as I finish up here. The time to cry out is now, at the beginning. Lack of faith or doubt can be embarrassing. It can be shameful even, but drowning is deadly. Don't let your doubt become deadly and lead to your drowning. You can conquer your doubt with your voice. The power of death and the power of life is in your tongue. Call on the Lord. The scripture tells us, "And they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And we know what that's talking about, but I'm telling you the principle there. Peter cried out to the Lord. He called on the Lord, and the Lord caught him. If you speak to him to start this walk, don't get quiet when you start sinking. When we come to him, we come with repentance, we come with words, and we come, and it gets us on this walk with him. But if we start struggling on the walk, we should not ignore the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He called you to finish the race. So if you're struggling to finish the race, call on him. We think that people like Paul and Peter were superheroes, and they just had this kind of faith that never had any struggle. But God has shown us in the Word that they had struggles. Paul said, "I got this thing, God, I want it gone, remove it." And the Lord said, "No, because my strength is made perfect in your weakness." And we see Peter saying, "I won't deny you," but he did. And then we hear, you know, I've preached this, but then we hear that rooster crying, and we think, there's that rooster telling on Peter. The rooster wasn't telling on nobody. God had already said, look, the Lord told him, said, "Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times." In other words, he said, before you realize you need mercy, you're going to do something that needs mercy. But the rooster was crying out because the Lord's mercy is new every morning. When does a rooster cry out? In the morning. When the rooster wasn't saying, there he is, the denier. He was going, "Mercy, mercy, mercy." And Peter realized, "I need that mercy." And he was able to stay saved and stay walking with God. I'm telling you tonight that you just need to cry out to God. Whatever you're going through. I know, we've got college students. Now, let me tell you, college. Oh, that's youth, and that's fun, and it's exciting, and you're young, and got everything before you, and you've got tests and exams, and you're trying not to let your parents down, and you're trying to figure out how you're going to pay your student loans, and you're trying to figure out how you're going to live and eat and survive and pay rent in a city, and how are you going to do this and do that and navigate everything, and am I going to pass? Am I going to graduate? Or what am I going to do? It can get overwhelming. You can start to sink. That's why you got to maintain that walk with God. That's why you got to cry out to him. That's why in the beginning, it says, in the beginning, when he was beginning to sink, he wasn't spitting water out trying to form the words. He realized, "I'm not where I was. Save me. Save me. Save me." Because what I see is that crying out leads to walking again. Because they both came into the ship. He wasn't dragging Peter by the back of his neck. He didn't have him in that rescue hold and swimming with one arm. He caught him, he pulled him up, and they both walked back. Crying out leads to walking again, walking with him, getting back to the boat.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.